So I'm going to start today by saying this. You are known. Could you just turn to the person next to you and just say to them, you are known. Okay, could you say it? Could you say it in a slightly sinister way where you say to them, you are known. Okay, could you say it? Could you say it in a slightly like more encouraging way? Ooh, just kick that. Could you say it in a slightly more encouraging way? Say, you're known. You are known. In the week, I typed into, I'm enjoying this at the moment. I typed into an AI, like a little artificial intelligent drawing tool. And I said, could you give me a picture of two ladies, the same lady, but one of them scared of being known and one of them happy about being known. And that is what the computer generated for me. That is a computer generated image. It decided that you can decide which one is which. But we kind of do understand that there is a difference between fear and between joy. And I would say that the statement, you are known, can induce both of those reactions. Growing up, I would definitely have moments where I would realize that I was known. And sometimes that was a good thing, and sometimes that wasn't always the greatest thing to arrive in. Depended on the reputation I had with the people that I was meeting at the moment. I know as well when my mum would give me that look, and in some moments that look would be, you're known, I love you, come here, you're all right. And in some moments that mum look was definitely, you are known. I know what you have done. You see, what we've been celebrating and talking about this morning is the message of Easter, in which Jesus the Messiah died and rose again, in which he overcame the grave. And in doing so, he showed and he demonstrated that everything that was ever said about him was true. This is the evidence of the Christian gospel, is the resurrection. If you want to ask questions about Christianity, you've got to start with, is he alive or not? I was watching last night, there's a program on Channel 2 called Pilgrimage. A bunch of people walking around North Wales, and one of them, Spencer Matthews, used to be in Maiden Chelsea, and he said, Jesus ain't a real person, was he? That was his question. This is a relapsed sort of Church of England lad, grows up in Eton, goes to church now and then as a kid, but just has this assumption, Jesus is just a nice story, nice fairy tale. Sort of put him into the Cinderella category. And so the reality that we're talking about a real person here who really did die and who really did rise from the grave is about the evidence that what was said about Jesus is true. You can choose to believe it or not. But as followers of Christ, there's a moment in which we say, oh, Jesus, you are who you said you are. You truly are the Messiah. So I want to go backwards to a little encounter that he had. And this is the before he was fully known moment. He was starting to be known. He was starting to say things about himself. He was starting to teach people what he was like. But this is before the death and resurrection of Jesus. But it's an encounter with a woman. And that encounter with the woman that he has is all about her being known. So we're just going to turn in our Bibles quickly. We're going to go to John 4. I'm just going to read you a little part from it. But the premise of this story is that there is a woman who is at a well. She's collecting water. She's in a place that you wouldn't necessarily assume that Jesus would go to. It's a bit of an outsider's place. But Jesus arrives there. And he starts to talk to this woman at the well, and he starts to tell her things about herself. Things that she thought no one ever knew. It was about her past. It was about the relationships that she'd had. It was about the multiple relationships that she'd had. It was about the current relationship that she has. She's with someone who was not her husband. She has this little moment where she realizes this man knows me. He shouldn't know me, but he does. And something in it starts to captivate. It doesn't just scare her to run away. It draws her to know this one who knows her. It invites her in. And he starts to talk to her about streams of living water. If you've ever thirsted, come to me and drink. He starts to love her. And he starts to tell her, yeah, I know you and I love you. You're known to me and I care for you. And he challenges her. She goes back to the town in which she's come from. And she says this thing. This is John 4, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, this is Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. What was her testimony? He told me everything I ever did. So she goes home, she tells everyone, come meet a man who knew everything that I'd ever done. And many believe because of her testimony. So when the Samaritans, this is her people, when they came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Many more people start to encounter Jesus for themselves, not just through the woman's testimony, not just through Max's testimony that you will have heard this morning, not just through Victoria's testimony. Many started to encounter Jesus for themselves and believed in him. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. Wow. Little powerful encounter 2,000 years ago. And Spencer Matthews, if you're here today, I don't know, it did really happen. Jesus is a real person. These encounters took place. This is not make-believe. I just want to, this is where, and say it's a simple message today, you are known. You are known whether that scares you or whether it fills you with joy. I just want to give you the alternatives that you get. The alternatives to being known is this. What if the meaningless, inanimate universe is harsh and doesn't know or care about me? That's actually that's a much more honest reflection of life. A much more honest reflection of life is the universe is big. I'm small. No one cares. At least that's honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. It's big. A few people might care. Even in this room, you might go, maybe there's a few hundred people that care. Wonderful. But in the great story of an inanimate universe in which there is no beginning and no end, in which life just creates itself, in which everything is here for there's no real reason in behind why things exist and why they're there. Ultimately, this still carries very little meaning. And that's okay if you want to land in that place, but at least be honest with that being the place that you're landing. And in that, in inanimate, meaningless universe, and it's harsh. The harsh truth of a reality out there is agreed. No one cares. No one really knows me. And that can be quite releasing in some ways. Kind of quite like the fact that I can just bounce my way through the universe, bounce my way through human interactions, reinvent myself whenever I want to, change my shoes, decide what I want to be, change my hair, move to a new place, become a new person. The idea of being unknown, in some ways, say it to yourself. It's quite attractive, isn't it? It's quite nice. Just be unknown. The universe doesn't know about me. No creator God knows me. No creator God's worried about me. It doesn't matter. My actions only carry very little meaning. As long as there's a few around me who know me and love me, that'll do, that'll satisfy. Or, let me just read this. What if the sent incarnate, which means in person, arrived in flesh, creator is loving and knows me and cares about me? Let me at least just say there's a couple of options on the table. Again, in this room, probably I'm talking to a larger majority of people who will hold that view, that a sent incarnate creator is loving, not harsh, and knows me and cares about me. That was the experience of the woman at the well. That was the experience of the people of Samaria. That was the experience of every believer that has ever chose to put their faith and trust in Jesus, is they've come to a place of saying, oh, maybe there is one who knows me. Maybe there is one who is loving, and there is one who cares about me. That can completely change everything about the way you live, because your foundation has completely changed. Your worldview has completely changed. The way in which you live your life and interact with others in the life that you live has been transformed because of one moment shift in our minds and in our hearts in what we believe. All of a sudden now, life carries a much deeper, purposeful meaning. Now, I just want to say this though, because if we take both of those examples of meaninglessness or harsh reality and doesn't know, there is a freedom that you get with that. But that freedom only lasts for now. That freedom only lasts in this moment in which I'm living. But what I've found, my own experience of talking to people, and I know a lot of people who hold this place, and they're fine with it. They don't need me preaching at them, not me trying to convince them that Jesus Christ is real. They are very much landed and are content and happy to say, it's all right, Ollie. You've got your faith. We like it. It's nice. It's cute. You know, good on you. Well done, my friends. But we're grown-ups. We understand this deal. We understand how this thing looks. And we're happy with it. We're content. But ultimately, if I talk to them, they're free now, but they're afraid of the future. Whenever we chat about the future, they'll always say, yeah, well, that bit is a bit, I'm not quite sure. Not quite sure what the future, I'm not quite sure what life beyond the grave is going to look like. I'm not quite sure what it looks like when I myself have to face up to death, but I'll deal with it. It's okay. I'll take it on the chin. Whatever comes, we'll go through it. I'll leave a little legacy with those around me. Be loving and kind and remembered in those things. But under the surface, that's the little bit of the itch that can't quite get rid of. Find it. It's a little ongoing conversation with my friends when we talk about this. But if we believe in a knowing God, a creator God who made things with purpose and intention, that may create fear in you now. And can I say that fear is a good thing? It may create a fear in you now that God knows you. He knows what you did last night. He knows what you're thinking in this moment. He knows what you'll do tomorrow. That may create fear in you. But it's a good fear, because it's a fear that draws you to the loving God who knows you, and he knows you, and he knows you, and he still chooses to die on a cross for you. He knows, and he knows, and he knows, and he still chooses to love you. Whoa, that changes everything. Change me. When all of a sudden I realized that this loving God, he didn't have the CV that I gave out of myself. He didn't know the fake reputation that I'd built. He really knew me. And he loved me. I felt I didn't deserve it. That's called grace. I felt I shouldn't be welcomed in. That's the kindness of God in our lives. The loving God, the loving creator, sent to suffer and die on our behalf, but not to stay there, to overcome the fear of the grave for us and to set us free to eternal life with him. You see, if we believe that, and I've seen loads of people die. I've taken loads of people's funerals. I've sat with people in hospital beds approaching death. I tell you what, they're not afraid because they know what is to come. Their fear is only in this life. Their fear for the life to come is gone because they trust and hope in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Their confidence is now found in him. So you can choose fear now or fear the future. The choice is ours. And it's a wonderful choice that the living God gives to us. I've asked a couple of our year sixes to come and read a bit of the Bible to us. So I've got Darren. There's one Darren. It was so nice worshiping with you and you singing with me this morning at the front. And Ngozi's going to come as well. I think she's at the back. And they're going to read something from Scripture. And I went into school the other day to talk to some children in year 3 and 4. And they're asking me questions about my faith. And you can, like, you can get funny questions about being a Christian. But one thing one kid just said was wonderful. He said, "What's your favourite part of the Bible?" There's loads of bits of the Bible that are wonderful gifts to us. But I was just drawn to this little part. It's a psalm written by David. And it's about the all-knowing God. Psalm 139. And so they're going to come and read it to us. Because I gave my Bible. My friend Jürgen helped me fix my Bible up a few years ago. And I gave one of the kids my Bible in this class. And they just read Psalm 139. And when I heard it read by a child, the understanding of being known by God from a young age, it broke me. I mean, class meant to be teaching. I could feel myself welling up. I'm thinking, no, come on. You're like, visitor, they've never met you. Don't start crying because they're reading the Bible in school. But it moves you and it gets you. And so I just wanted a couple of our children here to read this, Psalm 139, to us this morning. And I do believe that God wants to release some people from fear today. I do believe. And it may be, so I feel like there's two responses. It may be that you are a follower of Jesus already, but you know that there's still fear in your life. It's okay. Jesus arrives and says, "Do not be afraid." But he doesn't rebuke us for fear. There are moments when fear can grab us, and then it's at that moment that the good and loving Savior says, "Don't be afraid. I'm here. I know you. I'm with you." So for you this morning, you may know, and it might be a very, very pressing, recent fear in your life. It may be something that's just recently happened, you're thinking, "I'm afraid of what this means. I'm not afraid of death, but I'm afraid of the pain that I may have to be walking through. I'm afraid of this circumstance or situation. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I am going to trust in Jesus. He's going to be with me in this." It may be a fear that you know, even ever since you've been a follower of Jesus. I know Kim's here somewhere, Kim Aspendale. He always says to me, "Perfect love casts out all fear." Kim walked for years with fear in his life, and he's had to regularly meditate on the truth that perfect love casts out all fear. And it's an ongoing process of being sanctified and changed by Jesus. So for you, you may say, "I know I'm a follower of Jesus, but this fear just keeps circling around in my life. This anxiety I can't seem to get rid of." Okay, we're going to keep walking through it today. And when you hear the words of Psalm 139, the Spirit of God is here and wants to set you free. And then the final one is, I think there are some people who you are not yet followers of Jesus and you want to put your hope and trust in Jesus today. I actually saw some people who were saying they wanted to get baptized this morning. I was watching activity around the baptism pool. That happens because in the environment where God's presence is, the fear of the Lord stirs us and says, "I've got to respond to this thing. Can't just be listeners to the word. I must be a doer of the word as well." That's what this is. It's a doing of the words. It's not just a belief. It's a saying, "Go on, dunk me. Publicly demonstrate that my life is now in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come." So for you, this may be your first moment of response to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may say, "Lord, free me from the fear of eternity. Fear me of the fear of death. Let me know that I'm known this morning." So as they come to read this, I'm just going to ask us, just they'll appear on the screen. So Darren, do you want to come and join me? And Ngozi, do you want to come join me as well? You've got these wonderful. They're there. Do you want me to lift this up so it's higher? Okay. Where's Ngozi? Is she here as well? Ah, wonderful. Come on. And then I'm just going to ask us, just before they do, I'm going to pray. And the band are going to come up afterwards and play a song. So Ngozi, do you want to come around here? The band are going to come up and play a song. It's called No Longer Slaves. We're going to respond in that. But I'm just going to pray. So I'd ask you just to close your eyes for a second. And if it's you responding to this message of fear today, being freed from fear, whether it's in this moment, whether it's an ongoing thing, whether it's a new thing, whether it's a fear of God that God has put in you today, I just would ask you, I often, when I want to receive, just put my hand up to God to receive something from Him. So if there's anyone today, if you're just feeling that, you know you want to be freed from fear today, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Maybe you want to be freed from the fear of something that's just arrived in your life. Just lift your hands to him today where you're seated. People got their eyes closed. Just going to look around the room. Just see if there's people who just want to receive this from God today. There's a few. Well done. It's just a few. Might not be everyone, but there's definitely some people. And at the end of this morning's meeting as well, we're just going to, over by the baptism pool, while you saw some people getting prayed for after their baptism, we're going to offer to pray with you as well. So just here, with your hands raised, I'm just going to pray, and then Darren's going to start to read. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, risen Saviour, thank you that you know us today. Thank you that you see us today. Thank you that we are known to you, the creator of heaven and earth. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your death. And thank you for your resurrection. We trust in you again today. We put our hope in the empty tomb. We trust in Jesus, Spirit of God, as we read these words from Psalm 139 now, would your Spirit speak to us and transform your people by the power of your words? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my word. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I fly on the wings of dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand would lead me, your right hand would hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like day. Darkness and light are alike to you.
For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret. When I was formed in the depth of the earth, your eye saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to me. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I wake up, I am still with you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful.